president.
I call the president.
President,
we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fixed Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. This is the Fixed Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast ever, and most likely the funniest sports podcast you have ever heard, because I get it in, I do it my way, or the highway, and if you ain't doing that, it ain't the flyway. You heard me how I get down right here. Hey, we're going to have a good show today. We're going to get it in. We ain't gonna waste no time. We're gonna do what we need to do. So shout out our sponsors on the shows with Giants. You see, I got the hoodie on. If you got the video, if you're looking at the video, you can see I got my hoodie on. And the only way you can check out the video is to become a patron on Patreon at www.patreon.com/thefix. That way you can see me wilding out and doing my thing right here on this Fix Sports Podcast. The greatest sports podcast ever in the life. So On the Shoulders of Giants, www.ontheshoulders1.com, www.ontheshoulders1.com. They deliver African history, the stories of our sung and unsung heroes, at your fingertips. Easy access to these stories of our sung and unsung heroes. All you have to do is visit the website, www.ontheshoulders1.com. You can learn about the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website, On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, On the Shoulders of Giants online courses, which is available on Patreon at www.patreon.com/OTSOG, and also On the Shoulders of Giants classes, keynote sessions, educational sessions, whatever you need from On the Shoulders of Giants, whether it's face-to-face or digital. They got your smart boards, smart computers, smart TVs, tablets. The information can be accessed on all of that. Once again, the website is www.ontheshoulders1.com. And, you know, our Freedom Train website is freedomtrainradio.com. Like I said before, and I'm going to say it again, go ahead and check out all of our podcasts. Shout out Patrick Irvin. Shout out Enigma September. Shout out Shelby Davis, which are the fellow podcasters right here on the Freedom Train Network. And remember, once again, you can support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon by going to patreon.com/thefix. All right, so episode 27, season 4. We're coming to the end of our season. Remember, 31 episodes. 31 episodes, if you didn't know, if you knew this. We do 31 episodes every season, and this is episode 27. So what we talking about? What we talking about? So our HBCU spotlight, we're going to shine it on somebody who done broke Jerry Rice's record. Now, that's big. That's big now. We got some HBCU news where a freshman at Arkansas Pine Bluff was killed. We're going to talk about that. If you don't know about him, I'm going to introduce you to the blind athlete by the name of Adonis White, and I'm going to tell you why I'm talking about him. If you remember Terrell Pryor from Ohio State and his time in the NFL, I don't know who he played for now, but he's been stabbed in the chest, so we're going to talk about that. I think that happened yesterday. I'm going to give a shout-out to Richard Sherman for doing big things in the community by covering a Bay Area school lunch debt, bringing up the speed on what happened in Week 14 in college football. bring you up to speed on what happened to week 13 in the NFL. And remember, Monday Night Football is tonight. So also going to talk about a broadcaster named Don Cherry, who was fired for criticizing immigrants on Hockey Night in Canada. If you remember, if you're a football fan and you paid attention to the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know they had a linebacker named Telvin Smith. You know, I'm from Tallahassee, so he went to Florida State. So the police raided his house, so we're going to find out the who, what, where, when, why, and how of that. And our weekly rant is aimed at Patrick Patterson, who, in a Twitter fight, or social media fight, I think it was Twitter, he called black women bulldogs. So we got to check him before we wreck him. Probably check a man wreck him. But you know what I'm saying, that's how it get down. And those are the things that we are covering today. So what I want you to do is go ahead and make you supposed to have all had your popcorn ready. Hey, popcorn, hey, little beverages ready, whatever you're doing. If you're smoking something, you better go ahead and light that thing up, because it's really going down, because it's time for that HBCU spotlight. Like that, y'all. Something like this, this HBCU spotlight shot. So like I told you, we're talking about a Tennessee State wide receiver who broke Jerry Rice's records and wins a player of the year in, I think, the whatever conference. So I'm going to read to you. So the brother's name is Chris Rowland, and he was named the Ohio Valley Conference Offensive Player of the Year, and that was announced on Tuesday. Rowland finished his final season at Tennessee State as the nation's leader in receiving yards at 1,437 and receiving yards per game at 119.8, while ranking second in all-purpose yards a game at 175, as well as third in receptions per game at 8. The Nelsonville, Tennessee product was also only one of two players in all levels of NCAA to score touchdowns by rushing, receiving, punt return, and kick return. A.J. Johnson of D3 Lake Forest also accomplished that feat. The team captain, Roland, proved his dedication as a team player in the Tigers' 11th game of the season at University of Tennessee Martin. The senior, who suffered an injury prior to the Week 10 game, which limited his play to one half against Eastern Illinois, set out the contest as a receiver and return specialist, but performed his duties as a holder for the kicker. So, you know, by participating in the game as a holder, the receiver sacrifices per game averages and receiving yards, all-purpose yards and receptions. So, you know, sacrificial stuff. So he's a good brother, right? So the redshirt senior set new standards for Tennessee State while with single-season records with his 1,437 yards, 104 catches. Roller moved past Golden Tate in the final game of the season at Tennessee Tech and eclipsed Tyrone Butterfield and Juwan Hall earlier in the season. Rowland's receptions tally was third most in the season in the Ohio Valley Conference play. Eric Lohr of Eastern Illinois accomplished the task twice. It also tied current Los Angeles Rams Cooper Kupp for 19th in FCS history. DeMar also passed Hall of Fame Jerry Rice's 103 in 1984 and 102 in 1983, which is the most for a receiver in the HBCU and HBCU and FCS history. Talking like I can't talk, you hear me? The receiving yardage is the most by a receiver in FCS play this season and was the fourth best result for a season in Ohio Valley Conference history. Rowland finished 16 yards shy of third and 227 short of the conference record despite missing a game and a half. Water break. So the senior finished with six games where he caught double-digit passes, including a Tennessee State record 14th against Murray State. He also finished with over 100 yards receiving in nine contests, which were highlighted by his 202-yard performance at FBS opponent Middle Tennessee. Roland went for over 100 all-purpose yards in all 11 games he was a part of this season as a return specialist, finishing the season with 2,110 total yards. The fourth year went over 200 yards on six occasions with a season best 267 yard game against Jackson State. Roland averaged 25 yards per kickoff return, ranking 21st in the nation, and 11 yards per punt return, good for 10th in FCS. Roland scored on a 96-yard kickoff return against Jackson State and returned a punt for 56 yards against Eastern Illinois for a touchdown. Roland has been invited to play in the NFLPA Senior Bowl. He has also been named the Stats FCS Walter Payton Award, which lists and for the Black College Football Player of the Year Award. Roland is the ninth Tiger to be named a Player of the Year by the OVC, which is the Ohio Valley Conference, and the 10th award garnered for the Big Blue. So, yep, one time for this young man. Chris Roland balled out this year. I mean, that's all I got to say about that. Like, Chris Roland balled out this year. Them stats is ridiculous. 1,400 yards, was 104 catches. Did they say his touchdown? I missed the touchdowns. I might have missed the touchdowns. But he balled out, though. He balled out in every facet of the game that he touched the ball in. He was the man. He was definitely the man. Definitely the man. So that's just another indictment of if you a baller, you a baller. It don't matter where you at. Just ball out. No matter the level you playing on, just ball out. But more of the Black players need to play Black college football. Chris Rowland, rolling, rolling, rolling. Chris rolling on a comp, rolling on a competition. Y'all give it up for Chris Rowland, man. Shake your hands. I mean, clapping hands, not shaking. Chris Rowland, after the ball of 1,400 yards, 104 catches. Getting on time, making things go, making these rushes. And like, dang, coach, you can't cover Slim. Get it in. Snap it to a Slim Jim. Say that because I ain't really had nothing else to say, but yeah, man. Yeah, man. Chris rolling. Rolling. Rolling on a river. Homeboy Chris Rowland balling out for the HBCU spotlight. That's out Tennessee State University. That's out. Getting it on in. It's now time for some HBCU news. And a freshman was killed while playing basketball. So the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff women's basketball squad played Tuesday night's game against the University of Tennessee with heavy hearts. And that won't be going away anytime soon. University of Arkansas Pine Bluff players, and I'm going to start saying UAPB. UAPB players had to gather themselves to play a Power 5 opponent just hours after learning of the death of one of their teammates while playing basketball back home. Freshman All-TC cadet and student athlete Sierra Lee Wade died after being shot in her hometown, wow, of Lake Village. According to KATV in Little Rock, police found Wade and her brother, Deontay R. Bowling, suffering from gunshot wounds. 41-year-old Octavius Easterling is wanted in connection with the shooting. Wow. I think the biggest thing when we went into the locker room at the half, we talked to them and told the ladies to relax and be more comfortable. And that was the head coach, Don Brown, saying that. I think emotions were high and adrenaline was still running with the way the game started, it was heavy for us. Once we were able to relax and have fun, we began to get going because that's the type of energy you're going to need to be successful on the court. The 5'2 freshman from Lake Village, Arkansas, had yet to appear in the game with the Golden Lions. She was the fifth UAPB undergrad to die this semester. Wow. Our thoughts and prayers are with the Wade's family and her teammates. That's not good. That's sad. That's sad. I want to know why. What could go so wrong in a basketball game that somebody end up dying? That's what I want to know. What could go so wrong in a basketball game that it would cause somebody to lose their life? I knew she died, but I didn't know how. I wasn't expecting her to learn that she got shot. You know what I'm saying? Because when you read that, like, it's different from when you're assuming, but when you read it, like, wow. So let's have a moment of silence for Sierra Lee Wade. My condolences to the Wade family, her family and friends, colleagues, teammates, coaches. Condolences to everybody, all her loved ones, friends, loved ones, and whoever did this, I hope they get their ass whooped. Octavius Easterling. Wow, man. So that's HBCU news. So I had to get sad, but, you know, we got to talk about everything. I'll talk about everything. All right, so let's move on. I'm going to try to hype back up, but I wouldn't. That's just. It's just different. So there is a blind, and I don't know how old this story is. I'm not sure exactly. Well, this article that I'm reading is 2018. So, young man might be a junior or senior in high school, but a young man named, what's his name? Hold on, my computer. Adonis Wyatt. Yeah, I remember his name. Adonis Wyatt is his name. And he's a blind athlete. And one of the reasons why, and the main reason why I'm talking about Adonis is because he's not a charity case. Like, they showed him playing football. And his very, very, very first touchdown that he scored was a sympathy touchdown. But he was like, that's not how I get down. I might be blind, but don't give me no touchdowns. So he's a legit goal line threat for his team. Like, he legit scores touchdowns, like earned touchdowns. Like, they don't tell the team that they putting in the blind player. And then he come in and they give him the ball and he just runs straight and get a touchdown. He scores touchdowns. And I think that's so cool. Also, like, they showed him shooting basketball, like dude shoot basketball, right? So you like, how blind dude shoot basketball? So one of the cool things he do, right, he take his cell phone. Well, he find out what a goal is. He find out what a rim is, and he line himself up. Then once he line himself up with the rim, he take his cell phone, and he play music. And Buddy text on his phone, too. That's cool, too. Like, he memorized the keys, so he texts on his phone. So Adonis turns the music on his phone, set it under the goal, and then he just shoot toward the music, and he makes shots. So I think he cool because it's like I say, it's not like he He being a charity case, he's earning everything. So let me read this. A blind high school football player helped this team win by scoring during their freshman game. Adonis, who was fully blind, ran 2 touchdowns for Phoenix Brophy College Prep in Arizona during the September 12th game against Mesa Mountain View. His coach Scott Heidman told Arizona Republic that the touchdown runs were from 1 and 3 yards. Brophy Prep won the game 41-0. Earlier this month, 14-year-old Wyatt scored a 45-yard touchdown for Brophy Prep in the final minute of the game after the opposing team pulled back on his defense in the sign of good sportsmanship. And that was like the first touchdown. But after that, he was like, man, look here. I earned mine. This time, Heiderman and Mesa Mountain View was playing defense, and Wyatt's touchdowns were all earned. The proud coach said he never told officials that a player on his team is blind. Right? So they're showing some pictures of a little homie. So he makes me forget every day that he can't see, Heiderman said, adding that Wyatt said scoring the touchdowns on his own felt good, but was no big deal. Wyatt was not born blind. At the age of 5, he lost his eyesight to a rare condition called congenital glaucoma. Over the years, he underwent multiple surgeries to try to restore his vision, but none have worked. Eventually, Wyatt told his parents that he didn't want any more surgeries and that he learned to accept his condition. His mother, Veronica Wyatt, told Arizona Republic in an interview earlier this month that he always loved football and listens to the games. Wyatt played his first high school game earlier this month. The team told the outlet that he sees with his ears and can hear defenders coming at him. Wyatt also said he relies on his instincts and gut on when to move. No point in being scared, he said. That's how you get injured. Real RNS. That's some RNS right there. Real stuff, right? Wyatt said he's able to move the ball up the field because he knows exactly where he's supposed to be. Man, young Wyatt, man. Young Wyatt, look here, man. Some of y'all out here complaining about life, complaining about the trivial stuff, and young Wyatt out here scoring touchdowns, and he blind. Man, Adonis Wyatt, man. If you ain't learned about Adonis Wyatt, go learn about Adonis Wyatt. I saw a segment on ESPN about him that made me want to talk about him on the podcast because when I was watching that, at first I was like, man, this finna be some old charity case stuff. But it's not charity case stuff, though. Like, he's earning his keep. He's, like, he out there doing people in the old-fashioned way. He making you look foolish, making you look foolish. And nothing just given. So I just want to tip my hat off to Adonis Wyatt, man. I think the young man is doing some live stuff out there on the field. I think he's setting a great example for not just people with certain disabilities, but people across the board that, first of all, no matter what, you got to make sure you go out there and chase your passions, no matter what. And then live with no fear. Be smart, but live with no fear while you're chasing your passion. And go for it. Go full speed for your passion. And you never know where it's going to take you. A lot of times, going forward, your passion, using your passion, using your talent, your gifts, and going forward, it's going to land you in places you never, ever, ever imagined you would be. So, man, do your thing. Do your thing. But I want to make sure that we properly show the young brother some love. So I want everybody to get up off their feet and put their hands together for a young Adonis Wyatt. You hear me? You're the man, Adonis. Yeah. That's nothing but Jesus. That is nothing but God. This is the Reverend Pettigrew. And I'm here to talk about Adonis. Because Adonis is out there showing you that the power of the... Oh, I just come so excited I can't even say the power of the Holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nothing can hold you back. I said, nothing can hold you back. I said, you got to move forward. Even though you can't see, you got to still make it be. Still got to move your feet. I said, you got to move your feet. I said, you move your feet. And if you don't move them, then you're going to lose them. And if you lose, and then you're going to snooze. And if you can't eat, and then you're going to die. And after you die, your soul going to fly. And after your soul fly, your body on the ground, in the grass, flies all around it. People got to come find you. I said, people got to come find you. I said, people got to come find you. But you can skip all that by being like Adonis. Because Adonis is a man who ain't going to let nothing hold him back. I said, Adonis is a man who ain't going to let nothing hold him back. I said, a young man can't see, but a young man still bees. I said, a young man said they told him he can't go. And a young man showed him he had that flow. The young man said he had that flow. The young man got that glow like Bruce Leroy. So if you tell Adonis he can't, Adonis gonna show you he can. And if you tell Adonis he weak, Adonis gonna show you he the man. And if you gonna tell him he ain't got nothing, he gonna show you his land. And if you tell him he's soft, you might catch them hands. I said, you might catch them hands. You might catch them hands. I said, Adonis. I said, Adonis. I said, Adonis. I said, Adonis. Go on, young man. Do your thing. I said, go on, young man. I said, do your thing. Make it rain. I said, make it rain, young man. Make it rain on them hoes. Make it rain on them hoes. Make it rain on them hoes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Adonis White. Remember that name. Adonis White. Yeah. Remember that name. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your time, Reverend Prettigrew. Remember, be in church on Sunday. Okay. So that was Adonis White, and Reverend Prettigrew had to make an appearance. I guess he felt the spirit. I don't know, but I hope you felt it too. I feel all the energy up in the room. Yeah. So, one time. So, let's get to some drama. Get to some drama. So, your boy TP's a got stuck, huh? TP's a got stuck, huh? Say, bruh. Say, bruh. Your boy TP's a got stabbed, bruh. By this pretty chick. She's pretty. And she got a smirk on her face. So, the woman who allegedly stabbed ex-NFL star Terrell Pryor appeared to have smiled in her mugshot as she was being processed for attempted homicide. How dare she smile? Right? So she's 24-year-old. Her name is Shayla Brinston. And she was arrested Saturday morning after she allegedly stabbed 30-year-old Pryor during a fight at their Pittsburgh apartment. Cops say they noticed a bruise on Brinston's nose at the time of her arrest, allegedly caused during the fight with Pryor. But it's hard to see in the mugshot. According to court docs obtained by TMZ Sports, a female witness told police Pryor was the aggressor and had been waiting for Brinston after she went clubbing with friends. TP's out. She pretty, though. She pretty as shit. TP's out here being crazy. I don't know. She might be being crazy. We finna see, right? The witness said Pryor tussled with Brinston and it spilled into the kitchen where 150-pound Brinston allegedly grabbed a sharp object and stabbed Terrell Pryor in the chest. Brinston and her friend drove Pryor to the hospital where he underwent emergency surgery. Cops say one of the witnesses was overheard saying Brinston was just defending herself and added, "We should have just let him die." Well, damn. So they're trying to say Terrell Pryor beating women and she defended herself, right? That's what it sounded like so far. Pride didn't die and was later arrested and charged with assault. Brinson is facing two felony criminal charges, aggravated assault and attempted homicide. Jail officials tell us Brinson is currently in police custody at the Allegheny County Jail, and bail has been denied. She has a hearing scheduled for later this month. As we previously reported, Pryor and Brinson have been dating for about a year, and their witness told police their relationship has been volatile at times, that Pryor is always putting his hands on Ms. Brinson. So, if what TMZ is saying is true, what's being true in this article, then she's basically finna be tried or whatever for defending herself of what they're saying is true. So she need to get a lawyer. She need to get a lawyer ASAP. Yeah, this crazy stuff, man. Toxic relationships. Another toxic relationship. She fine, but she's in a toxic relationship. And now she's in a situation to where her freedom could be snatched. This is a black woman we're talking about. This is a black woman that Terrell Pryor is with. So you know how the justice system treat black women. Try to throw them away, right? Especially in this case. So, on one hand, I'm like, if this information is true, Terrell Pryor, I mean, I'm not mad at her for defending herself, but she needs a lawyer. But if it's not true, and she is like true attempted homicide, then I don't know. I don't know, but I do know it's a toxic relationship. But if Terrell Pryor was trying to whoop her ass and she was defending herself, then she has all right to stab the shit out of his ass. She got to defend herself. I mean, that's okay, right? But if not, if that's not the case, if it was just truly she was just being evil and vindictive and just crazy, then I mean she's in the situation that she's in for being crazy, toxic relationships, though, you know. So that's just, you know, I was watching football the other day and I saw the headline flashing this and I was like, Terrell Pryor been stabbed? Dang, I was watching game day on Saturday morning. I think I said Sunday earlier, but it was Saturday morning. I was watching game day and I saw it flash on the bottom line on ESPN that Terrell Pryor had been stabbed. And I was like, no, not Terrell Pryor been stabbed. What he been? How he been stabbed? Who stabbed him? Brinson, Shayla Brinson. Damn. I don't know how that, oh man, I don't know, toxic relationships be. But you know me, man, if she was just trying to fuck him up, then her ass need to be arrested, put in jail. But if not, then his ass need to be put in jail, and she need to get out, and she shouldn't be charged. Because you can't defend yourself. But we're going to need more information, but I just want to bring y'all up to speed on this. This is crazy. This is crazy. Crazy shit is happening. People just out here choosing people for what reason? I don't know. I don't know why people are choosing the people that they're choosing, but people choosing the people that they're choosing, and you see the shit just ain't working out the way it's supposed to be because it just ain't. I don't know. Damn, TP. Say she picked up a sharp object, so we don't even know if it was a knife. She picked up something to stab the fuck out of him, huh? Damn, Peasy. I don't know what to tell you, bro. Got to get out of them toxic relationships. So, all right, man, let's move on, though. So, that boy Richard Sherman said his headline that he donated more than $7,000 to erase a middle school's lunch debt. One time for Sherman out here being live in the community, man, being live in the community. So Richard Sherman is known for his work on the football field, but the San Francisco 49ers cornerback is also doing important work off of it. Sherman donated $7,491.27 to cover students' lunch debt at Cabrillo Middle School, a public school in Santa Clara, California. The announcement was made by Principal Stan Garber, who also posted a video of him and Sherman posing together. He and Sherman he said Sherman gave him a personal check to cover the debt. Richard's gesture created such a goodwill for the 49ers that they went on to sack Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers the next day on national TV by a score of 37-8. So Sherman's foundation blanket coverage, the Richard Sherman Foundation, also followed up with the letter. So We have found that eliminating student lunch debt is one way to help assist students and their families in relieving some of the stress that comes with attending school on a daily basis. The last thing any child should have to worry about is being able to afford eating breakfast and lunch at a school. We aim to do our part in eliminating that obstacle. This isn't the first time the Super Bowl winner has helped eradicate lunch debt. Earlier this year, Sherman's Foundation donated $20,000 to Tacoma Public Schools for meal debt, according to a news release by the NFL Players Association. Sherman's Foundation does a lot of volunteer work in communities, including things like food drives for schools and the homeless and donations to local food banks. Sherman began the foundation in 2013 to provide students in low-income communities with school supplies and clothing. So, one time for Richard Sherman, man. Community man out here doing his thing, man, making the community better, making sure the kids eat, man. Man, y'all get, I'll put y'all hands together for Richard Sherman out here, making sure these kids out here eat, bruh. What you doing, bruh? Some people talking about it. Other people being about it. Richard Sherman being about it, he putting his money up. So total this year, 2019, at least $27,000 eliminating school. Richard Sherman, man. Y'all give it up for Rich Sir. So I'm saying it again. Total 2019, putting a total of $27,000 toward eliminating lunch debt, school lunch debt for kids. Man, that's balling. That's baller. Excuse me, I just burped. Excuse me, but that's what's supposed to be happening, man. That's how it's supposed to be going down. Richard Sherman doing his thing, man. $27,000, man. One time, Sherman. Do your thing, bro. Do your thing. Keep balling on and off the court, Richard Sherman. Can't even be mad at you. Richard Sherman. Can't even be mad at bro that doing this thing. If you don't like that, something wrong with you. Because, you know, you want to make sure these kids be able to eat when they go to school, man. Got to be able to eat when they go to school so they can function like they're supposed to in these schools and go out here and get these good marks and pass these classes. And go out here and get jobs or start businesses and enterprises and don't be in debt, but get the marks. And one thing to help them get them good marks, not being hungry. And that's where that boy Richard Sherman come in, make sure them kids not hungry so they can get the marks. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. So you got to go out there and put them hands on that night. He messed with that man gonna put them hands on you. That man gonna put them hands on you. My computer acting slow because I'm looking for these scores, trying to outrun these whores. It's pimping in my pores. I ain't got no sores. I don't never snort. I just do how I do. And be how I be. Love the way you're supposed to love. And tell them you want to come see. Tell them your mama name is Percy. And your daddy name is Sal. Your brother oldest Curtis. I'm sorry. That just rhymed. Come on, man. So, okay. Every time I press that, it go back. This thing is messing up. It's messing up. Something is messing up. It ain't me. It's me, but it ain't me. It's messing up. It don't want me to see these scores. It don't want me to tell y'all the NCAA football scores, man. It's tripping, thing. This thing tripping, man. Let me use something different, because this thing tripping, cause it don't want me to tell y'all about these scores or these college football scores. Dog. I'm going to tell y'all about the scores anyway, dog. It ain't going to hold me back, dog. It ain't going to never hold me back, dog. What I'm talking about? It will never hold me back. All right, so Iowa gets a 3-point victory over Nebraska, 27-24, right? And Iowa number 17 in the country. So we had a matchup between number 18 and number 19, Cincinnati and Memphis. And Memphis come out with the victory, 34-24 victory over Cincinnati and Memphis ends the regular season at 11-1. You heard me? Boise State get that victory over Colorado State, 31-24. Virginia Tech loses to Virginia 39-30. Appalachian State beat Troy 48-13. Appalachian State is 11-1. Ohio State finished the regular season undefeated by putting that thing, dragging their nuts across Michigan's face, 56-27. LSU dragged their nuts across Texas A&M's face, 50-7. Clemson drug their nuts across South Carolina's face, 38-3. Georgia drug their nuts across Georgia Tech face, 52-7. Now, this Alabama-Auburn game, it was a football game. It was a football game, but what lost Alabama the game was the same thing that lost Alabama against LSU. Yeah, I said it like that. Same thing lost Alabama against LSU. It's the thing that lost Alabama against Auburn. Turnovers, penalties, bad special teams. Missing field goals, turnovers, special teams. Alabama had 13 penalties. I think Auburn had 2 pick sixes. He had a missed field goal. You can't win like that. Nope, not going to win like that. Because it ain't like Auburn trash. Auburn ain't a better team than Alabama. But Auburn got the victory because they came out and played like they were supposed to play. 13 penalties, 2 pick sixes, and a missed field goal. Some of the main reasons Alabama lost this game. That just is what it is, man. So Utah beat Colorado like they were supposed to, 45-15. Oklahoma got the victory against Oklahoma State, 34-16. Wisconsin got the victory over Minnesota, which I kind of figured they was going to do, 38-17. Baylor, they got the victory over Kansas, 61-6. They drug their nuts over Kansas, 61-6. Penn State beat Rutgers, 27-6. Florida beat Florida State, 40-17. I'm here in Tallahassee, but, I understand we got Florida State fans, but I just didn't understand why people really believe Florida State was going to beat Florida. I just couldn't wrap my mind around people really believing that Florida State had a chance to beat Florida because Willie Taggart gone or Odell Hagan's the coach or because Florida State playing better. No. Florida State, they beat a Boston College team that was supposed to beat. They beat an Alabama State team that they were supposed to beat. And they lost to a Florida team that they were supposed to lose. But Florida State 6-6 and they're bowl eligible, baby. Oregon beat Oregon State 24-10. Notre Dame beat Stanford 45-24. Kansas State beat Iowa State 27-17. Let me try to find this FCS. Hold on. Because, the Bayou Classic happened. Bayou Classic happened between Southern and Grambling. So, Prairie View A&M beat Alabama State 20-17. Mammoth beat Holy Cross 44-27. Albany beat Central Connecticut 42-14. Austin Peay drew their nuts across Furman's face 42-6. Illinois State beat Southern Miss 24-6. Northern Iowa beat San Diego 17-3. Nichols beat North Dakota 24-6. Kennesaw State beat Wofford 28-21. Southeast Louisiana beat Villanova 45-44. They eked out a win, actually. And Southern eked out a victory over Grambling in the Bayou Classic 30-28 because the Grambling kicker missed the field goal at the end of the game. And that got Grambling. Southern went down and got a touchdown, and all Grambling had to do was kick a field goal, and the kicker missed the field goal. So that lost Grambling the game in the Bayou Classic. That's all I'm going to talk about. So that's NCAA Week 14 scores. So NFL Week 13. So, the Bears beat the Lions 24-20. The Saints beat the Falcons 26-18. The Cowboys lost to the Bills 26-15. Out there playing like bullshit. Lost the game to the Bills, 26-15. The Colts beat the Titans. The Colts actually lost to the Titans, 31-27. The Ravens, led by that boy Lamar Jackson, beat the 49ers, actually. And Lamar had 105 yards passing, one touchdown, had 101 yards rushing, and one touchdown. And the Ravens won the game 20-17. And Baltimore, hold on, let me look at it again, see what their record. Their record is 10-2. So they tied because New England lost. Well, New England got 2 or 3 losses. So I think Baltimore got the top spot. So the Bengals beat the Jets 22-6 in the garbage game. The Steelers beat the Browns in their rematch this year, 20-13. I don't even remember who won the first game, but people was mad at the Browns coach for one for wearing the shirt that said the Steelers started the fight. You know, I guess people were talking about it because they lost the game. If they would have won a game, nobody would have cared. But, you know, how would the headlines run that game? I don't know why. You know. Shout out to the Miami Dolphins for beating the Eagles 37-31. The Dolphins beat the Eagles. The Panthers lost to the Redskins. They were supposed to beat the Redskins, but who cares? Because the Redskins ain't going to catch us anyway. But the Panthers lost to the Redskins 21-29. The Packers came out and did what they're supposed to and beat the Giants 31-13. The Buccaneers beat the Jaguars in the Florida Bowl. Well, I guess not the Florida Bowl, because you got to add Miami in that too. But the Buccaneers beat the Jaguars 28-11. The Rams beat the Cardinals 34-7. The Chiefs beat the Raiders. They beat the shit out of the Raiders 40-9. The Chargers lost to the Broncos 20-23. The Patriots lost to the Texans 22-28. And the Vikings and the Seahawks playing tonight. Gotta watch that game. So that's what's going down in the NFL, man. So get back to some stories real quick before we get to this weekly rant and wrap this thing up. Girl, you look good. Wrap that thing up. So it's a commentator named Don Cherry, who's a longtime NHL commentator, was fired by Canadian broadcaster Sportsnet after making divisive comments about immigrants on the A Saturday night or A Saturday night. Sports brings people together. It unites us, not divides us, said President Bart Yabusele in a statement. Following further discussions with Don Cherry after Saturday night's broadcast, it has been decided it is the right time for him to immediately step down. During the broadcast, he made divisive remarks that do not represent our values or what we stand for. On the broadcast of Hockey Night in Canada, Cherry, an often controversial commentator, criticized immigrants of Canada for not recognizing Remembrance Day, the country's equivalent to Memorial Day. The remark started a firestorm in Canada that ended with Monday's afternoon's news that Cherry would immediately step his old ass down. Get your old ass down, fuck boy. Many Canadians were small artificial poppies. Hello, many Canadians wear small artificial poppies in the days leading up to Remembrance Day to commemorate military personnel who died during war. Speaking Saturday night during Coach's Corner, his intermission segment during the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's Hockey Night in Canada, Cherry noted that he rarely sees anyone wearing poppies in Mississauga, the Toronto suburb where he lives, or in downtown Toronto. Both areas have a sizable ethnic population. You people love you that come here, whatever it is you love. Our way of life. You love our milk and our honey, Cherry said. At least you could pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys pay for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. I'm an old white bitch and I can't get erections anymore. And I'm just angry at everything. And since I'm thinking about this, I'm going to be angry about this because I'm Don Cherry and I'm an old angry fuck who has erectile dysfunction and my wife left me. My breath smells like I eat ass every day, and I'm just being dumbass, so I'm going to say what comes to my mind. Y'all got to buy some poppies, because if you don't buy no poppies, then I'm going to be mad at you for not having poppies, because I'm Don Cherry. And I want you to do what I want you to do, because I'm a curmudgeon who has erectile dysfunction. And I look like hell. And my breath, once again, smells like I eat 1,000 assholes a day. And I'm mad at everything. That's why they fired me. So on Monday, after his firing, Cherry stood by his words in an interview with the Toronto Sun. I know what I said, and I meant it. Everybody in Canada should wear a poppy in honor of our fallen soldiers. I speak the truth, and I walk the walk. I have visited the bases of the troops, been to Afghanistan with our brave soldiers at Christmas, been to cemeteries of our fallen around the world, and honored our fallen troops on Coach's Corner. To keep my job, I cannot be turned into a tamed robot, says Cherry. The NFL called the move a justifiable response to Cherry's comments. While we recognize Don Cherry's 4 decades of service broadcasting NFL games, today's decision was a justifiable response to his comments on Saturday night, the league said in a statement. The opinions he expressed are in direct conflict with the values of diversity and inclusion that we embrace as pillars of the sport. I'm Don Cherry, and I'm an old bitch. Fuck you, Don Cherry. Fuck you. That's some wild shit, B. Some wild shit, B. Your homeboy, Telvin Smith, who used to be linebacker for the Jaguars, The boys ran up in his home. Boys ran up in the high. Them boys ran up in the high. What they do that for? Let's find out. So, questions is surrounding the former Jaguars linebacker Telvin Smith continue to swirl in the wake of a police raid at 28-year-old home Wednesday, and it has some of his old teammates expressing concern. Defensive end Calais Campbell told media in Jacksonville that he hasn't heard from Smith in a month. Neither team president Tom Coughlin nor head coach Doug Marrone had any information available on Smith's status, though both confirmed that they were aware of the raid. Are they ops? Are they ops? Is they snitching? I don't know, but I'm making this shit get mad. Dun, dun, dun. Smith abruptly stepped away from football in May, following a 5-year stint with the Jags that saw him earn Pro Bowl honors in 2017 and a record career high, 134 tackles in 2018. So last year he was balling. And he just said, fuck it. While we have been conflicting reports of whether or not Smith was arrested in the raid, News 4 Jacks could not locate any arrested criminal charges related to Smith as of Tuesday. Smith announced his decision to leave football via Instagram post in early May to get my world in order, prompting the team to place him on the Jaguars reserve retired list in July. The linebacker filed retirement papers with the league the same month. No! So what's going on now? So I feel like there are a lot of rumors that are surrounding that's turning around. That's obviously not true. Defensive end Dwayne Smoot told Jacksonville.com he's going through his own thing, and I don't know exactly what it is, but it might have been best for him to step away. While Campbell hadn't spoken to Smith since October, he still considered Smith a friend and seemingly waiting with the rest of the franchise to learn more about his former teammate situation. Till the facts come out, I'm definitely not going to speak on what he's going through, Campbell said. So, yada, 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 yada. So, we don't know yet why they raided his house. Hopefully, it ain't no dope or no crazy stuff. Hopefully not. But why they raided that man's house? We don't know, B. But we're going to find out, man. And when we do, you have no clue to what me and my homie going to say to you. I don't know who my homie is, but you know. Man, I just hope everything good with Buddy. I hope everything good with Buddy because I like him. I think I like him. I like Telvin. So I hope everything good for him, man. Big ups, Telvin Smith, man. You know, just make sure everything is good, B. Make sure everything is good, B. on all of that ass, B. I hope everything is good, B. Dead ass. It's time for my weekly rant. It's aimed at this boy who said black women is bulldogs, Patrick Patterson of the LA Clippers. See the video, say I got my eyes squinched up because this beef, B. Talk about black women, you get bombed on, B. Bomb first weed. You don't know who you messing with, cuz. You don't know who you, all right, so. Yeah, and, okay, so. I got a burp. It ain't coming up. So, the Clippers forward, Patrick Patterson. Oh, shoot. I'm over-exaggerating. I'm sorry. I had to get that burp out. I'm over-exaggerating. But Los Angeles Clippers forward Patrick Patterson has drawn the ire of many people for using the word bulldog in response to an Instagram. So it's an Instagram fight, not a Twitter fight. Instagram fight. It's an Instagram fight, not a Twitter fight. All right? So, well, in response to a post on Instagram, user questioning Patterson choosing a white wife. Patterson claims bulldog was a specific reference to the Instagram user's wife, who is black, and not a generalization of black women. This all started over a picture Patterson posted on his Instagram account with his wife wishing her happy anniversary. Right? So, actually, in this, it's going to be a lot of people who be in the crossfire of this rant. Everybody involved, the user, the IG user, and Patterson. Just to be fair. So IG user stated that the only reason Patterson has a white woman as a wife is because he's an NBA player, right? With the hands and shit. The implication, of course, being that white women will only marry a black man if he's rich. Well, that's not true, but I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm talking about? And that when black men are rich, they choose white women to marry, which we know that ain't true. We know statistics. No, we know. We know that ain't true. So, Instagram user, what the hell is going on between the sheets in your home? Because if you didn't like it, you could have just kept scrolling. Keep scrolling. Yeah. Scroll it with emotions. Just slow scroll it. You could have kept scrolling, but you wanted to poke the bear. So here it is, right? Patterson responded and said, "True. If I made it to the NBA, I would never have met her while playing for Toronto. But why does it matter? Love is love at the end of the day. I like black women, right? I ain't saying he can't love who he want to love." I just felt like saying that. Ladies, I'm single. And I like black women. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, ladies. Yeah! I'll give y'all that Denzel. That. Yeah! Alright. If it ended there, we wouldn't be debating the merits of blackness vis-a-vis interracial marriage. I don't give a fuck who he married. I just know I like black women. But here we are. The IG user then said that if Patterson worked at Walmart, he wouldn't have a chance with the woman. Citing Patterson as another statistic, a black man who is now rich and left his own for someone of another race. Oh, shit. So the back and forth continued in the comments. Patterson wrote, "So I should settle for a bulldog and act like I'm happy with my wife, with my life, and preach keeping in your race to the world as if Dr. King didn't fight and die for equality, acceptance, and all cultures loving one another and no hate. No thanks. Continue the 30-year-old basketball player. That may be your life, but I don't want that for mine or my family. Color doesn't matter. Wake up. Who's the bulldog, bitch? Who you calling the bulldog for, boy? Huh? Who a bulldog, bitch? Huh? If you thought she was ugly, just be like, you specific person, you ugly. But who you calling the bulldog, bitch? That's how you got to be with that. Who you calling the bulldog, bitch? Within context, understanding that she should have kept her ass scrolling. So this is where the outrage went on full tilt and everyone jumped into the comments with an opinion. Patterson did post an apology via his Instagram account. So this is an apology. I want to address my use of the word bulldog during a conversation with someone who I felt was making disrespectful remarks about my wife and our relationship. I responded with the same, making a cruel comment on his wife's physical stature. Right? I know that two wrongs don't make it right. Like that song that they had sung with Wyclef one time. But I know that two wrongs don't make it right. But I let my emotions get better of me in the heat of the moment. For that, I apologize to him, his wife, and the rest of his family for the hurtful and cruel comments made on that day. So actually, it was a dude who was like, hey, man, why you marrying a white woman, dog? Why you marrying a white woman, bro? Obviously, why you marrying a white woman, bro? I don't give a shit. I like black women. That's just more black women for me. I do think black people should marry black people, but I'm not going to stress myself. Oh, yeah, black lady, black women, I'm single, too. I'm still single. So as I did in the rest of the conversation thread, multiple times, I will clarify again that I was not using the term as a reference to black women. That's not at all how I feel, but I do not need to justify to the world that I love my black people. I have no animosity or bitterness towards any race. I believe in love and equality. To be fair to Patterson, inferring that he called all black women bulldogs is making a leap, according to DET. We can debate how much of a leap, but a leap nonetheless. But the problem isn't Patterson or the IG user or even the people in the comments. The problem is America. Blah, 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 blah. But this led to all this fracas. So it's a dude who was in his feelings because Patterson posted a picture of him and his white wife that Patterson called black dudes, black women, a bulldog, which in turn was kind of like calling black women bulldog, because let's just face it, in this situation, his white woman was representing all white women, and the black woman was representing all black women. So we get the context of that. So him calling her a bulldog was indirectly calling black women bulldogs, but calling black women bulldogs. But why'd you even call? I mean, I get firing back, but calling his wife a bulldog, his black wife a bulldog, when you got a white wife, come on, bro, you ain't that smart. Because, I mean, Buddy could have kept scrolling, though. Let's get back to that, though. Buddy could have kept scrolling. Buddy could have said, I see you got a white woman. I don't like your white woman. And I'm going to say something about it. And Pat was like, man, I mean, no, no, I got my white woman. I got my white woman, bro. And your woman look like a bulldog. Why my woman got to be a bulldog? Huh? So both of y'all some dumbasses. Both of y'all. One, two, dumbasses. Next time, dumbass, bro. IG user, bro, just keep scrolling. But I see stuff all the time that I think is plain stupid or stuff that I don't agree with. I keep scrolling. But him, nah. I got to say something, bro. I got to stand up for my black people, bro. And I'm going to say something, bro. Now, I think he kind of knew that. He should have had an idea that if I say something, and I say something out of pocket, Buddy going to say something out of pocket, too, so. Not defending what Patterson said, because Patterson needs his ass whooped for saying that, because it's indirectly but directly calling black women bulldogs. But calling that man, and I understand why he did it, but he should still shouldn't have done it, right? So the whole, that's why I got to give the rant to everybody involved, because it's just a whole bunch of dumb shit going on, and people need to learn how to stop being dumb and mind their fucking business. Like, if that man want to marry a white woman, let him marry a white woman. I just don't, I love black women, and my wife gonna be black. Point blank, period. If my wife was black, I looked at that picture, kept scrolling, put my phone down, and went and made sweet love to my black wife, letting her know that she's the queen of my universe and the center of my solar system. You heard me? She's the apple of my eye and the cup of juice I want to sip every day. You heard me? That's how I feel about black women. That's how I would have done about it. But I just think Patterson and IGU's buddy just two dumbasses. And I got caught up in my feelings, bro. You know what I'm talking about? I got caught up in my feelings, bro. And me getting caught up in my feelings, bro, made me like, oh, bro, no, bro. I said, Bulldog, bro. I got caught up in my feelings. I said, Bulldog, bro. I got caught up in my feelings, bro. Dumbass. Number one is dumbass. Number two, sit y'all dumbasses down and stop being dumbasses out here in these streets and on these social media posts being dumbasses, because you're dumbasses when you're dumbasses. You're dumbass number one and dumbass number two, because what you is a dumbass. Because people just out there just being dumbasses. Social media just a place where people decide to be some dumbasses. Like it's not going to be exposed to the world. So I play for the Clippers, but I'm going to call a black woman a bulldog. Yeah. Got to be smarter. Got to make better moves, man. You got to manage your emotions better. Stop being a dumbass. Because one dumbass plus one dumbass equals two dumbasses in a basket being dumbasses. You heard me? Hey, man. That's my weekly rant, man. That's my weekly rant on dumbass one and dumbass two. I hate being dumbasses for one, not mind their own business, and two, get to the point where you feel like you got to call black women bulldog. Come on, bro. Stop with that bullshit, man. Hey, that's my weekly rant right here on the Fix Sports Podcast. You heard me every Monday right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. I'm your homeboy, Joseph Ward. Remember, you can support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon. That way you get to see the video of me wilding out doing my thing at patreon.com/thefix. Hey, man, I enjoy each and every one of you who tune in to this podcast. I love you. I thank the world of you. And without you, we wouldn't be talking about nothing, man. So you are very, very, very appreciated and important. So two fingers in the air like a player, because y'all know we just don't care, because that means we up out of here. You heard me?
Hey. I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the ball.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Snare Floor. There's no one.